We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. My name is Sheriff James Vautour, V like Invictor, O-U-T-O-U-R. Across New York State today, the New York State Sheriff's Association, the New York State Chiefs Police Association, and the District Attorney's Association are having a press conference all across the from Buffalo to the tip of Long Island to discuss bail reform and discovery reform. These are two laws that were passed in the budget process in late April of 2019, and they are scheduled to go into effect on January 1st. I want to be clear that no one that's standing up here with me is opposed to some sort of jail reform. We all agree that Johnny, who gets caught for shoplifting at a store, should not sit in jail for 200 days because he's poor. So I want to be clear. What we are concerned about more is public safety. And that's what we want to talk to you today. With me today, I have representatives from the Orleans County Sheriff, Wyoming County Sheriff, Erie County Sheriff, Niagara County Sheriff, City of Jamestown Police, Hamburg, Lancaster, North Tonawanda, Middleport, representatives from the Niagara County Legislature. I have representatives from the New York State Assembly and many others that have joined us here today. I know there's probation here as well. And also concerned members of the Troopers PBA, the Police Benevolent Association, the Niagara County PBA, the Niagara Falls PBA. Those members are with us here today as well. For several years, New York State's been trying to pass comprehensive bail reform and discovery reform in the criminal justice process. Not having a lot of luck, as we see in many laws, these were moved into the budget process in late 2018 and were eventually, through a lot of back and forth in New York State, these laws were passed in the budget process where there was very little input, if any, from law enforcement, from prosecutors, from victim advocates, from anybody whose these laws concern. I want to speak first about bail reform. I want to give you a scenario. A man's caught selling heroin to high school students. He's caught by the police. It's also shown he's responsible for selling a bad batch of drugs to the same group of students that caused a near-fatal overdose. He's charged with criminal sale of a controlled substance to a child, a Class B, that's B like in boy felony. And a Class B felony is punishable for roughly 20 years. Under the new law, he will be arraigned and released on an appearance ticket. A drunk driver travels in excessive speed, runs from the police. During that police chase, he runs over an innocent citizen and kills that person. Under bail reform, that person will be released on an appearance ticket. You wake up to find an intruder inside of your house. Inside of your house. The individual flees with your belongings and is quickly apprehended by responding law enforcement. The appropriate charge in that case would be burglary in a second degree, a Class C felony. Under this new law, that defendant would be arraigned and released on an appearance ticket after you catch him in your house. And by the way, when we get to discovery, he also will have a right to petition to court to return to your house so that he can view the crime scene to defend himself. This is what appalls us in law enforcement. This is why we come here today. These are the types of things that hamper the safety that we provide. The very blanket that all of us up here provide for your safety, to keep you safe, has been taken away from us. I will repeat, no one up here thinks there shouldn't be some type of bail reform. And we call today on the legislature to reconvene prior to January 1st and to put the brakes on this. We're calling on them to just look at what they've done, bring in representatives of law enforcement, Most importantly, bring in victims' rights representatives. Bring in prosecutors, district attorneys. Bring in public defenders. Criminal justice is a big wheel with a lot of spokes. Bring the spokes in and let us help craft something that keeps the public safe. The sad part is the people who wrote this law and pushed it through the budget are disappointed in it. They wanted everyone released. They wanted bail wiped out completely. They wanted someone who murders someone, who shoots someone, to be released on an appearance ticket. So they're disappointed in what they got. So we're calling on the state to reconvene, slow things down, and let's look at this practically. Let's look at this and see how we can make it better. New York State claims to be a big advocate of victims' rights and protecting people in domestic situations. Under bail reform in a domestic situation, a husband can beat his wife, and she gets to a phone and calls the police, and he gets arrested and given an appearance ticket. And if an order of protection is issued and he violates it by beating her a second time, he still gets an appearance ticket. I ask you, is that what we want in New York State? Is that what we've come to? A lot of this was predicated out of New York City. I see a lot of reference to a situation which everyone behind me agrees was sad, of a young boy, a poor boy, poor financially, who was charged with a robbery. He stole a backpack, and he was put in Rikers Island. Rikers Island has been a mess as long as I've been in law enforcement, over 26 years I've been on this job. But instead of addressing Rikers Island, they address it with bail reform. And they use this as their keystone, as their cornerstone, of their shining example. This boy sat in Rikers Island for 1,000 days. 1,000 days, 200 of those days in solitary confinement because he was suicidal. He later, after his case was adjudicated, took his own life. That's tragic. Nobody up here thinks that's right. Nobody does. But you have to ask yourself, who failed? Did law enforcement fail? No, we didn't fail. Rikers Island has been a mess for 30 years. The state has never done anything about it. Secondly, when a defendant sits in jail for 1,000 days, the failure's on the court system. It's on OCA. They failed to prosecute him. That's what went wrong in that case. It wasn't because the cops locked him up. The cops did their job. There's probable cause to arrest him for a robbery, and they arrested him. But they're saying we can't let a situation like this happen. And everybody up here agrees we can't let that happen. So let's fix what the problem was. The problem was Rikers Island. The problem was the courts who failed to prosecute and the district attorney's office who failed to prosecute that boy for 1,000 days. 1,000 days he sat in jail because he was poor and couldn't get bailed out. We all agree that's wrong. But we also agree when someone's dangerous, that needs to be given that opportunity for the judge to consider dangerousness when they set bail is critical, absolutely critical. That's been taken away January 1st. We cannot consider how dangerous someone is. We have to be a kinder and friendlier New York State and just put them back on the street. One law that's only a misdemeanor that bothers me tremendously is resisting arrest. Everybody standing here today behind me has fought with someone. We've all done it. People don't like to go to jail. People don't like cops. Under this new law, if we get someone who fights with us, and we've all been punched and kicked and cut and scraped, it's part of our job. We're not complaining about that. But we have to take the cuffs off that person when the fight ends and give them an appearance ticket. And why that bothers me so much is I backed up my police officers in the state police 4 months ago on my way home from work on a disorderly patron at a restaurant. And we gave this guy every opportunity to leave. He was drunk, so we wouldn't let him drive. We offered Uber. We offered to pay for Uber. We offered any ride sharing we could get. We offered a cab. We offered to drive him where he wanted to go. And he refused and fought like hell with us. And we got him down, three of us, and got him cuffed in the town of Lockport. And fortunately, we could take him to jail. He then fought with my jail staff for over an hour. He eventually sobered up, calmed down, and he was fine. But I ask you, what would I do with that guy January 1st? What would I do with him? When I'm done uncuffing him, and he told me personally, he says, "You're the biggest one in the bunch. I'm going to kill you." He threatened to kill me. We've all been threatened up here. It's no big deal to us. But January 1st, what do I do with him? Take the cuffs off him and leave him there? Well, am I going to fight with him again? Do I let him go back in the bar where he just got thrown out of? Do I let him get in his car and drive home? Is that what we want in New York State? That's bail reform, ladies and gentlemen. Because of a situation that went bad, because the courts failed to prosecute, the state failed to fix a broken jail. And everybody in New York State is going to suffer from that. Every victim is going to suffer from that. Domestic violence, you get to beat your wife twice before we can take you away. Twice you get to beat her. I'm sorry, but every one of us up here, we want to take that guy away the first time and get him in jail. And then you get the opportunity, as a defendant when you get released, to intimidate the witness, because you're not in jail where you can't have contact. And think about that victim in a domestic, whether it's a wife, a husband, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. When they find out that they call the police and that person who just beat them up gets released immediately, do you think they're going to call the police the second time after they get the second beating? No. Because they don't want that second beating. Our opportunity to do that has been taken away. I want to give an opportunity for Chief Dan Denz from West Seneca Police, who represents the police chiefs in Western New York. I want him to come up and say a few words as well.
Thank you, Sheriff. Dan Denz, D-E-N-Z, Town of West Seneca Police. I'm here to represent the New York State Chiefs of Police Association. I'm the third vice president. We represent over 500 law enforcement executives across New York State. As the sheriff said, we are co-participating in regional press conferences here all at the same time across the state. We find these issues troubling, and we want to make the public aware of what is taking place. Jim was very eloquent when he talked about bail reform. One of the things I would like to talk about is the original intent of bail. The general public doesn't realize that bail is not issued as a form of punishment. It is supposed to be, it's issued by a court to secure the attendance of a defendant to their court case. After the court case is completed, the defendants get their bail money back. It's not kept, it's not part of the fine, unless those arrangements are made through the defense attorney and the prosecution. We have, as law enforcement officers up here, as the law stands right now, very limited opportunities to hold people on bail as law enforcement. There are certain stipulations that need to be met. However, all of those stipulations are wiped out January 1st. So if we arrest somebody on the midnight shift who currently could be held on station house bail until the morning to see a judge to secure their attendance of court, that is wiped out. We will, as the sheriff said, be mandated to release these people. As far as flight risk, Jim has talked about the danger posed to the public. Let's just talk about flight risk right now. Judges can no longer consider whether a defendant has any ties to community and may be a flight risk when deliberating whether to set bail now. So the new law will not keep our community safe, and I'll give you an example of that. I have several highways in my town that converge, and we do some drug interdiction cases. If we have somebody who's transporting a large amount of drugs from another state through our state, and we catch them, and we take them to court, the judge automatically has to release them, even though they will probably be a flight risk and flee the state. So that's where we are really, the bail reform is problematic for us. The discovery reform, there are a lot of unfunded mandates. Most of the law enforcement agencies you see up here now will have to hire, as I had to hire, an individual to do just the additional work to address the discovery processes, to get the paperwork, the new discovery paperwork to court. The district attorney in Erie County has to hire 19 people just to make sure that these processes are followed. And all that cost is going to be borne by the local taxpayers, whether it's county or local towns and villages. There is no state funding for additional bodies, and the burden is going to be borne locally as opposed to statewide. The sheriff also mentioned about witnesses and confidential informants. Under the new Discovery Act, anybody who is involved in anything as far as a witness or an informant within 15 days of arrest has to be turned over to the defense, their names, their addresses. Their confidentiality and the safeguarding of the witnesses and the privacy of citizens unrelated to the case but somehow identified in the materials will all be at risk. It's turned over. So an example would be in a bar fight. If we show up at a bar fight and somebody is injured and we interview witnesses at that, what happened, what do you know, within 15 days, even though they weren't involved personally with the bar fight, if they give us information, their names will be turned over to the defense immediately. And they just go bang on their door. We anticipate the unintended consequence will be a decreased solvability rate in crimes in the communities most affected by the highest crime rates. We will now start having witnesses not come forward at a higher rate, crimes underreported or non-reported, because of the release of their information and the lack of confidentiality that applies to that. We are afraid that people in our communities will get hurt through witness tampering and intimidation, and we don't want to see that. Again, to echo what the sheriff says, there's nobody up here and nobody in law enforcement in New York State that believe the case that this is all based on was right. It is a tragedy. However, that is not the norm. And we really believe a moratorium on this should be placed so we can discuss this further to balance the scales of justice as opposed to just letting everybody free to roam around and on their own recognizance to show up. There is a significant burden put on the district attorney's office. Our district attorney in Erie County has been working diligently with all the county law enforcement. They have had numerous training sessions with both the judicial branch and the law enforcement to have processes put in place to address a new discovery process. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I apologize.
That's okay. So, I really commend District Attorney Flynn's office for working with us closely. In Erie County, the DA's office is bent on this, along with the local criminal court judges. I know that they have all met and have had training sessions on this. We are trying to get up to speed to address these things, just coming off the Raise the Age legislation, that we finally have processes there. I think it's more about the rush to get this into place than it is actually a lot of the processes that have been developed through this new legislation, and we really do need some time to digest this and tweak the laws. This isn't anything that was done incrementally. I don't know where we're going to go with this. Let's try here. I got it. Okay. Again, most laws and legislations when it comes to law enforcement is introduced incrementally. This has been just really dumped on us in one lump, and it's been very difficult for us to adjust the processes and in as the legal system as a whole. And what we're asking here is a redress or at least a moratorium to go in and say, let's push this off for a little while till we can all get at the table. The professionals can sit down with the legislative body and push for some solutions that are good for everybody. And that's all I have to address.
Thank you. In just one second, we have one more speaker come up. But I want to welcome, there's people here that disagree with us that are here at this press conference. And I want to welcome them here because what we do have in common is we're all Americans. You have every right to be here and every right to express your opinion. And we will, as law enforcement, protect your First Amendment right and allow you your opportunity to disagree with us. That's the beauty of this country. I want to bring up Assemblyman Mike Norris. We'd like to speak.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Be happy to. Michael Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S, New York State Assemblyman, the 144th District, comprising of Erie, Niagara, and Orleans counties, actually right here in the town of Clarence. I'm proud to represent Clarence as well. And I'm more proud even to represent all of these folks here standing behind me in law enforcement who are on the front lines every single day protecting all of our communities throughout New York State, and particularly here in Western New York. I'm just honored to stand here with all of you who are on the front lines each and every day, who are trying to protect our communities from criminals, violent criminals who commit heinous crimes against law-abiding citizens. I remember sitting on the assembly floor as the representative from the 144th District and listening to the debate on this legislation, which was enacted into law. I opposed it then, I oppose it now. And I oppose it because there are serious crimes, level E felonies, where an individual would receive an appearance ticket to appear. You're talking about criminal negligent homicide. You're talking about crimes against animals, animal cruelty. You're talking about attempted terrorism charges. All types of very serious crimes. Now, as the sheriff mentioned, there is certainly room for bail reform in certain circumstances, but these are very, very serious crimes. And the ability for elected judges to have the opportunity, these judges have been elected, at least in upstate New York, to determine whether or not a defendant poses a risk to society, and they should be given the judicial discretion in order to determine whether or not that individual deserves bail or should be temporarily imprisoned until their hearing. I'm an attorney by trade. I'm an officer of the court. I understand that everyone has a right to their trial, and I certainly support that throughout our process. But at the same time, there are certain situations, as the sheriff and the chief explained, where there are individuals who are in a very difficult situation, and then they have to be let out under the current legislation. And they may be aggravated, they may be very upset, they may go back home to their families in this type of situation. And the ability to place bail on an individual or to hold them temporarily is important for the security and the safety of citizens and potential victims. And that is why I am so concerned about the legislation that is taking place right now. I have co-sponsored legislation in the Assembly by Mary Beth Walsh, Assemblywoman Mary Beth Walsh, which will put a one-year moratorium on these proposed changes. So the stakeholders, our professional law enforcement officers, our elected sheriffs and district attorneys can come to the table to talk about these concerns and potential changes and tweaks to this legislation in order to protect everybody. And that is the most important thing. So I asked Governor Cuomo, I asked Speaker Hastie, and I also asked the President of the Senate to please take up this legislation to put a moratorium on this legislation taking effect on January 1st. So the stakeholders and the individuals who deal with this on a day-to-day basis can come to the table and offer real common sense solutions to address this situation. Again, I'd like to just acknowledge Dave Godfrey, who is the chairman of the Niagara County Public Safety Committee, who is here with me. And I would like to thank the media for being here as well, and as well all of our law enforcement. I'm just so proud to stand with you. I understand your concerns. I voted against the initial legislation, and now I'm doing my part to stand up for the citizens of my district to make sure that they're protected and they're safe each and every day, just like you. And that's why I'm so pleased to support this legislation sponsored by Mary Beth Walsh in the New York City Assembly. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have members of police chiefs, sheriffs, and police benevolent associations up here. So if you guys have any questions, we'll take them.
I'll start off by right now with you, Sheriff. Have you, other than this state official or state, politician, if you want to use that phrase, have you talked to anybody else? Why did the governor sign this legislation into effect? Obviously, he thought it was a good idea at that time. Have you had any conversations with, again, elected officials who may have voted for this? And now, are they turning against this? Are they standing with you?
Yes, I was down lobbying early back in January, February, March, and April. And I just want to be clear that this was not legislation that was placed on the governor's desk for him to sign. This legislation was placed in the New York State budget. In defense of the governor, he actually wanted and fought for putting dangerousness in this law so that a judge could consider how dangerous someone is. He really wanted that in the law but didn't get that in the negotiations. There were some Senate Democrats who actually fought against the provisions that the Assembly Democrats brought forth, so therefore they couldn't get it done in legislation where it would be a typical bill placed on the desk of the governor for signature. So it was, as we see so many times, was put into the budget. So what the governor actually approved was the budget. This was just a provision of the budget, which had no monetary effect attached to it.
Now, you said this incident stemmed down in the metro New York City area. Is this something that was drafted by politicians that are from the metro New York, downstate area that we call, let's say, Westchester County, Long Island, but even about?
Yeah, all your sponsors are downstate. They're all New York City.
What kind of burden will this put on the daily workload of the folks who work in the department with regards to the discovery reform and the bail reform? What kind of added workload will folks now experience once this goes forth January 1st?
Well, with discovery law, the changes, we have to turn over, in law enforcement, we have to turn over every piece of evidence that may be used in trial, all the information about any witnesses, victims. That all has to be turned over to the and certified by the district attorney's office within 14 days of arraignment. 14 days of arraignment. For someone like me, I run the 911 center in Niagara County. So in a typical accident, maybe it's a vehicular homicide accident on a busy road, I might get 40 911 calls. So someone has to sit with a headset and listen to every 911 call and then clip and snip everything that goes along with that case to turn over for discovery. Keep in mind, many things have forensic work done on them. I have a forensic lab. There's no way we can do forensic work in 14 days, so we have to ask for extensions to turn over the results of forensic evidence. So it is a huge burden. Certainly, we agree that a defendant has a right to that information to defend himself. We're not disagreeing with that. But we need a reasonable time to get that stuff together. We're not in the business of hiding information. But it has to be a reasonable time frame to get it over. Because what happens is, if a defense attorney finds one little snippet of discovery that wasn't turned over, he makes a motion to dismiss. Now just think about someone, if they raped your daughter, and one little piece of evidence wasn't turned over in 14 days, and that case gets dismissed. That's what our concern is. Yes?
If this was part of the budget in April, the session ends, I believe it's in June, why, I guess, Why sound the alarm on this now, as opposed to right after the budget when there could have been an opportunity for lawmakers to do something before the end of the session?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've been screaming about it since January because I was very aware of what the provisions of the bill included. I've been in Albany with sheriffs. The police chiefs have been in Albany. We've been in those halls. I've looked those sponsors in the face and explained scenarios to them, and I just got blank stares back from them. I told one senator from the Bronx, I said, do you ever get protesters or people that come in your office? And he said, yeah, all the time. Do you ever call the police? Yeah, all the time. I go, they're not going to get released. If they come in and throw a chair through your window, they're going to get released right in the front steps of your office. And I just got blank stares. The reason that it's a hot topic now is because we literally are 44 days away from this being implemented. That's why it's hot now.
So you guys are calling for a moratorium on both the discovery and the bail, or just the bail?
On both.
On both.
Because it came through as like a criminal justice package when it was included in the budget. There was one other item in there, but I don't know.
The other item had to do with
speedy trial.
Yes. There actually was another item that had to do with the records of a law enforcement officer being made public. That was also part of it.
Maybe a better way to address these three issues is to separate them and address them on their own merits instead of included in one whole package that was kind of shoved in the budget.
Sure. Go ahead. You can
speak. I believe that all three of those issues should be dealt with on a separate basis, making sure we have proper public hearings with our professionals and law enforcement, the district attorney's office, and others to be heard on this issue. You know, we talk about the budget process, and I don't want to be political because we're here with the law enforcement, but the budget was adopted in the middle of the night. The major revenue bill that came out, which is usually called the Big Ugly in Albany, is dropped on rank-and-file lawmakers' desks with about an hour to take a look at that, and then there's a period of debate on this very brand-new fresh language. This was done in the middle of the night. I remember watching this debate, 3 a.m. It was 3 at 3 a.m. And my good friend, Tony Palumbo, the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, debated this bill in the Assembly versus the co-chairman for a long period. I remember this, but it's done in the middle of the night. These issues should be dealt with on their own by single bills, with full openness and transparency. And that's why I asked the Speaker, the President of the Senate, and the Governor to reopen up this package and to put the moratorium in place so a proper discussion and dialogue with all of the professionals who deal with this on a day-to-day basis can be brought to the table and it can be dealt with. Thank you.
Chair Votor, you said that you're in support of some sort of bail reform.
Yes. Well, there's 400 crimes listed in which bail could be set or can be set today, but can't be set January 1st. Okay, so I'm looking at nonviolent misdemeanors, maybe shoplifting, as long as we have good identification. No one here, as I said earlier, no one here wants to see someone sit in jail because they're poor. We believe in that equity, that everybody should have a fair right to make bail. Our concern is the domestic violence case where the husband beats the wife, the vehicular homicide, the robbery in the second degree where we have to chase down and catch a robber, yet because he's dangerous to the community, we can't put him in jail. The drug dealer passing through town. We live on Niagara County has three international bridges. You know, a Canadian that comes over with a boatload of drugs now is going to get an appearance ticket. Do you think he's coming back to the United States? I don't. He's not coming back. It might not come back if they're from Pennsylvania. So, yes, there's a lot of work that can be done with bail reform. I certainly think we can do a lot of work. We just want an opportunity to sit down at the table and say, hey, we are the ones in the streets. We go into dark alleys and we catch bad guys. Give us a say in what you're going to do. That's all.
There shouldn't be any cash bail or anything like that for non-violent misdemeanors?
I'm sure if we look through those 400 crimes, we could find many of them where we would be fine with the issuing of an appearance ticket.
Would you like to see any reforms on the discovery?
I don't think we can meet the deadlines for discovery. I really think that it's just such a task. Again, we take an oath up here to protect our Constitution. We are firm believers in our Constitution. We're firm believers that a defendant has rights to the evidence to be used against him. But we need a reasonable amount of time. You understand that, you know, this job's different than when I started this job in 1993 with technology. There is a lot of things to gather. We want the defendant to have those things, but we need more time to get it.
What would a reasonable amount of time be?
It really depends on the case, to be honest with you. It depends how complicated the case is. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like they want to have some sort of set number. Is it like 2 months?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what that number is, but that's why.
45 days right now is a lot.
Right now it's 45 days.
Yeah. And that seems manageable for the police. So.
Okay. So yeah.
I hold 505 people. There's 350 today. Is that overcrowded? I ask you. I'm not being facetious.
Would you say that there's an overcrowding issue in other parts of the state?
No. The prison population in New York State is lowest that it's been in years, decades. It's like marijuana. They said we need to make marijuana legal because of the mass incarceration. I heard a very high-ranking official say that. I immediately picked up my phone from my desk, called my jail, and said, well, I had 336, I think, that day in the jail. I said, tell me how many are in on marijuana. One. And we had huge quantities in a drug arrest. You tell me if that's mass incarceration, one out of 336. You tell me if jails are full. I have 350. I hold 505. I've been sheriff for 11 years. I'm at the lowest rates of incarceration I've ever been at as sheriff. I don't know where the narrative comes from. If a public official says it and everybody believes it. I'm telling you, the jails are not full. I'm down 11%. I just got the report from New York State. New York State is down tremendous amounts of jail inmate population. So when someone says to you that the jails are full and the prisons are full, New York State, it's public record. They just shut down prisons. Do you shut down prisons when they're overcrowded? We shut them down because there's not enough people to put in them. So I hope I answered your question.
I know you're against this legislation as a whole as it is now. Do you see any good or positive that is built into this at all? Or
Into the discovery or the bail?
Yeah, either one.
Yeah, you know, I think that appearance tickets for minor crimes are fair. You know, if we have ID, the person lives in the community, there's, you know, bail can't be used as punishment. We have to understand that. That's the way the laws are written. There is a lot of good that could be put in bail reform. We are up here because it is the hardened criminals, the people who won't return to court, the people who intimidate witnesses. We're asking for the judges to have the flexibility to consider those circumstances. When this passed 2 or 3 years ago in New Jersey, dangerousness was not in their law. The judges could not use danger to the community as a way to set bail and consider bail. New Jersey found out that was a big problem and quickly changed it, and they now can consider it dangerous.
Do you think something like that similar would happen here in New York when it does get enacted?
With the current makeup that we have in our Assembly and our Senate, no, I don't see that happening, unfortunately. As I said earlier, the governor actually wanted the dangerous portion in bail reform. He's a supporter of bail reform. He wanted the dangerous part in it, but didn't get that through the negotiations and settled for that being taken out, where the juddges cannot consider that.
Do you think there's any chance that a moratorium would be put in place or changes? Do you think it can happen?
I certainly hope it can happen. Again, with the makeup that we have, it's an uphill battle.
Some people who are in support of the bail reform package are sort of connecting the dots that if there are fewer people in the jails, and I know you said that, you know, jail populations are going down, but there are even fewer people, there's less of a need for police officers and deputies. How much does that factor into your concerns, if at all?
Well, let's talk about January 1st, less people being put in jail. We all agree that that's going to happen. Okay, so everybody says to me, well, you can lay off a bunch of corrections officers, right? That's not necessarily true, because when people go in and are held on bail, every day that they're in on bail, that counts towards a potential sentence they might get when the case is adjudicated. For example, if they're in on bail, say it's a couple $1,000, they can't make bail, it's a serious charge, like a robbery, and they're in for 100 days, and they take a plea, and the sentence is 1 year, those 100 days count. Now, with bail reform, no one's going to be in jail, so they're not going to have any upfront time that's going to count towards a potential sentence. Therefore, we're going to see jail population loaded on the back end, where they get sentenced to a year, and they have to serve that year because they have no time. We call it, you know, time in the system. They have no time in the system to count towards that year. So I'm not sure how populations in jails are going to proceed. I can see it going down. I can see it going up. We're going to have to wait a year or two and see what happens.
You're referring to time served.
Yes. Many times in a case where someone gets put in jail and they don't make bail, when they get to court, take a plea, or they go to trial and get adjudicated, a lot of times the sentence is time served because sometimes they serve up to a year waiting for their case to happen, and they'll get time served. Under bail reform, they're not sitting in jail, so there's no time that's counted towards a potential sentence. So if they do get sentenced to jail, then they'll have to serve the full sentence, which will increase population. So. Certainly.
Sure. Thank you. I remember seeing a press release that came out about a couple of very messy chases that resulted in some arrests. And it seemed like you were pointing out who was getting released, because if in Lee County, you know, you have some of this going into effect, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if you could talk about that case and what you see as the differences between the people who get their own release.
Well, the only thing I'm going to address in that case, because it's still an open case, is that there were individuals who ended up, the judge was able to incarcerate under the current law, that in January 1st, those same individuals, if they did the same deeds, would automatically be released. And they were weapons possession charges. So that's all I'm going to comment on that. It depends. There's a lot of, as the sheriff said, there's 400 laws that right now can cause somebody to be held that will be off the books January 1st. So, but that's all I'm going to address on that case right now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.